If you can't afford to financially support the audio project on Patreon, I completely understand. Please enjoy all of the stories that are here on the site for free. And if you're able to, share your favourites, comment, and let the guest writers and readers know that you love their work. If you would like to support, patreon.com/girlonthenet. You'd be surprised how much you get for very little money. This is an audio recording of the post, Bucket List Sex, something hot we've really got to do. So we're chatting about fucking, me and my partner, and all the bucket list sex that we'd really like to have. Recently, we've been trying to plan more kinky sex, so this kind of thing is occupying our thoughts. But it's hard for us to think of anything enticing yet possible. We're pretty good at ticking new sordid kinks off our list the second they cross our filthy minds, so most of the fucking we want to do has already been done. I ponder this issue for a while before suddenly it hits me. There's one really significant thing that I've never done with this particular guy. Break up. We should break up, I tell him. What? It's something we've never done. You know, we've never broken up. We've had fights, sure. And tough times. We've been to relationship counselling and we've had those long, tortured arguments where we never managed to make any headway, but we've never actually broken up.
Well, no, he says, because we don't want to. Right?
Right, I say, of course, but picture it. We have one really massive blowout row. Until we're bitter and hurting and filled with tortured misery. We still love each other, and the waves of hurt are radiating through our chests, crashing against our battered hearts time and time again. He interrupts me. Mate, that sounds horrible. So I continue. I need to explain. Sure, it sounds horrible, but then we fuck. We fuck with a kind of rage-filled energy, as if we're using our bodies to cement our own hotness in the other person's mind. We fuck performatively, beautifully, to remind each other just how good we are at this and how much we've got to lose. Then, when we're spent and exhausted, we lie in each other's arms and cry. We stay awake the whole night, sneaking silent glimpses at each other in the darkness, letting tears roll down our cheeks and reminiscing about all the good times we had that we may never have again. He tries to interrupt me again with a but I cut him off. Then comes the sad sex. The sex you have when you realise it might be the very, very last time. All soft and careful and slow and gentle with each other, touching the other person's skin as if it's precious and special, trying to fix the memory of their body in your mind, to memorise their tear-stained face, storing the picture for later, trying to absorb the very scent of them. As far as bucket list sex goes, we've never really done this. Because we've never properly tried to break up before.
I see what you mean, he says. But is it worth it for that particular kind of bucket list sex?
It's not just that kind of, you know, there are others too. There's the fuck you have about a week after one of you's left when the other gets in touch to say, fancy a drink, and you figure, why not? Then spend an hour getting ready because you want them to remember just how hot you can be. There's the fuck you have after a few pints and a tense chat, when the whole pub feels so charged with your horny electricity that you expect light bulbs to start exploding at any moment. The snog you have outside the pub where suddenly all the lust you felt for the last however many years comes thudding at once to your crotch. And you realise if you can't have this person right now, you know you'll die. When you get home, you're almost panting with the desire to tear into each other. But you know the drill won't allow for immediate fucking. First, at least one of you needs to say, "We can't," and the other reply with, "We mustn't." And you realise that at some point during this evening, you've forgotten who left who. All that exists now is two people drifting towards each other, horny and sad and tortured and hot and desperate to do the one thing you both said you would not do. Only once you've acknowledged that fucking is forbidden can you truly get down to the filthy stuff. And by filthy, I mean filthy. That's the kind of bucket list sex I'm talking about. All capital letters and aching moans and biting and smacking and nostalgia. Fucking you have to keep breaking off for more we shouldn'ts and let's nots. But only because the let's not makes the next stage of fucking more fun. Choking each other and pissing on each other and spitting in each other's mouths because you know each other well enough to dance on the edge of all of your boundaries. Telling each other mid-fuck how much you've missed the smell of their hair and their armpits and their spunk. Reveling in the way they know your body so well and the way you know theirs. That instant familiarity that feels like coming home and, oh good God, the taste of them. They taste like all the love they've given you over the last 8 years of your life and all the dirty fumbles under blankets at their parents' house and sweaty, slippery holiday sex in Greece. And their fingers are inside you and their dicks in your hand and it feels so hard and smooth and perfectly shaped as if your hand was made for the sole purpose of holding something exactly like this. When they're inside you, you want to cry. Because maybe this time really is the last. So you moan more loudly and hold them more tightly. Clench your body around them as if you're clinging to the debris after a shipwreck. And each stroke of them inside you feels so right and yet so wrong. You're punishing yourself by giving in to your animal lust for someone that you know is going to hurt you. The same someone who, in the darkness of a sweaty, lustful night, you cannot comprehend having ever agreed to part with. This fuck is both a reward for reuniting and a punishment that you ever foolishly agreed to throw this precious thing away. Then when you're done and they've left, you get to masturbate intensely and passionately about all the stuff you just did, occasionally weeping, often wondering if you should text them again. Then days, weeks of silence, in which you gradually haul yourself out of the pit of sadness and start getting on with your life. A life you're building mostly just to prove to them you can. Then one day, when you're happy and horny and enjoying it, and you've almost but not quite forgotten, they email you again to say, "Drink," and the whole cycle kicks off once more. When I finish, there's a long, long pause. He looks at me with a stern face, then delivers his verdict on my weird bucket list sex suggestion. "No," he says, "I'm not going to break up with you just so we can have tortured sex." But then he gently cups his semi-hard cock and adds, with a filthy smirk, "But you should write about that. It's hot." And honestly, how am I meant to get an erotic breakup underway when he insists on being so fucking sexy? If you liked that, you can find more audio porn at girlonthenet.com/audioporn, or come and help me make more of it at patreon.com/girlonthenet. And I will leave you on the note that that's genuinely one of my favourite ones I've ever recorded. I should write more like that because it was great fun. Come and make suggestions as well, particularly if you're a Patreon. I will write about pretty much anything you suggest as long as it's legal. So come support me on Patreon and you can get some personalised erotica if that's what you fancy.